Okay, good evening, YouTube. Welcome back to this next episode of FPL Family with me, Lee, and this is Sam. And Sam, we've had our next managerial casualty of the season. Wolves boss Bruno Lage, in case you missed it tonight, guys, unceremoniously dumped by the Midlands team. Kind of inevitable, we think.
Fair enough.
After that performance at the weekend, wasn't very good, was it?
I think it's fair enough, to be honest. I think it's been a fairly long time coming. Like, it's not really felt like they've been going anywhere, has it? For a while now.
Lost the dressing room, a bit of fans, getting a bit in the stands at the weekend. Wasn't particularly good, does it?
Just never felt like he was the right man, did it? Mm. He never really hit the ground running. And I know that...
Big shoes to fill after Nuno, right? Because they all loved Nuno there, didn't they, at Molineux?
Yeah, they did. And it was a weird one when he left, really, wasn't it? Because it wasn't exactly like Nuno left on... You know, just the time was right, wasn't it? More than that, you know, wasn't forced out or anything like that. And when you're, when you don't really want the manager to go, which is the impression I got from a lot of Wolves fans, and then the new one comes in and doesn't do great, you can see why the dissatisfaction comes in. Problematic. Now they've got to find someone new.
Well, this is it. I mean, there's some interesting decisions over the summer, wasn't there, to sell Cody, and a lot of that was, I'm not saying it was all down to Bruno Lage, but it was a bit like, you know, I want to play a back four, I don't need this surplus of centre half, so he can go. I think there's a bit of financial instability around the club as well, and meaning they had to sell certain players. Very unlucky with Raul Jimenez. I mean, Jimenez, since the injury, I don't think he's ever been quite the player that he was before the injury, in my opinion. Adama Traore, well out of form. You know, it's like it's a lot of different things conspiring against Wolves, I think, and he seems to have sort of found himself at the, at the wrong end of all of it, quite frankly. But who knows who they're going to get next? I haven't even looked at the bookies' odds yet to see who the next manager is. Any thoughts? Any clues? Have a look. See who's the next boss.
Say hello while I have a look.
Go on, I'll say hello while you do that. Guys, welcome to the live stream. Thank you for joining us. We'll be doing our usual, so we'll be looking back at all of the games that we've had over the weekend. Some crackers, actually. The Premier League back with a bang this weekend.
Missed it, didn't you?
I did, actually. Yeah, yes, I did. Because the international break was dull as dishwater, quite frankly. And some of our FPL assets, some Liverpool players, some Spurs players, did pretty well. I think Sonny scoring a couple of goals, and even I think Almiron played twice for Paraguay, I heard, on Match of the Day, and then comes back full of energy in that Newcastle win against Fulham. But I missed it, to be honest with you. And he came back with a bang. Lots of really good games at the weekend. So we'll talk about some of the games, and we'll look ahead to game week 10. Game week 10 coming up thick and fast. We've got Champions League, we've got Europa League, European football for a lot of the Premier League teams this week. So as usual, I guess our advice is hold your transfer as long as you can, wait to see how those European games go, and then get ready for game week 10 at the back end of the week. Who is in the running to be the new Wolves boss?
Let's have a look. The favourite is the current Sporting Lisbon manager, Ruben Amorim.
Right,
Ruben Amorim.
Okay.
He's the favourite, followed in second by...
Is he a Portuguese dude? Just coming from a Portuguese club?
He's coming from...
Wolves are brilliant,
aren't they? I don't know if he's actually... Yeah, he is. He's a former Portuguese international.
Portuguese dude.
Of course,
very good.
He has to be.
Of course.
Sevilla boss, Julian Lepetegui. How do you say that? He's the second favourite.
Lepetegui.
Apparently, he's about to be... He might lose his job anyway. So that explains it. Olympiacos manager is in third.
Do you want to have a go at pronouncing his name?
Andreas Villas-Boas is in the running for it.
AVB, back in the Premier League.
My life.
He's Portuguese as well, isn't he? Yeah. Literally, if you've got a Portuguese passport, you're in the running, basically.
And also Sean Dyche.
Of course. Why not Sean Dyche?
And also Fonseca is in the running as well, the current
also
Lille
Portuguese
manager.
Yeah, also Portuguese.
Interesting time. So basically, you've got to be Portuguese or Sean Dyche.
Any... Portuguese or Sean Dyche, who is about as
he's as Portuguese as they come.
He's about as European as Paul Scholes, isn't he? Sean Dyche. Listen to, he's like the least Portuguese listening guy you could ever get. Let's say hello to a few people, Sam, before we get into these games and we start talking about how our game weeks have gone.
Why did I not make a cup of tea?
I just noticed that you're on the water this evening.
What's going on?
For you, isn't it?
Well, I've just taken
unusual.
A sip of that and thought, I'm disgusted with myself, to be honest.
Don't want to stop the stream? Pause it and go and make a cup of tea?
I can't.
No, everyone's here now. We better not.
Everyone's here. I can't.
Better
now.
Not. No,
really
better
annoyed
not.
With myself. What was I? That was. Do you know what? I was too busy Googling things to put in party bags.
And the new Wolves manager.
Oh.
Hello to Dane Spencer. Hello from Jamaica on 87 points, Dane.
From Jamaica? Have we ever had anyone in from Jamaica before?
I'm sure we have. That's very good, Dane. 87 points is a very, very good score so far this game week. Because, of course, and I say so far because we have got the Leicester versus Forest game to come tomorrow night. So those of you with Madison, if you've got Ward, if you've got maybe Everson, maybe Nico Williams, if you've taken a punt on Dak or any of those players, then...
Max has got Johnson. Public apology to Max, my child.
You messed his team up, didn't you?
No, I didn't mess it up.
You forgot to set it up.
We didn't hit save. No, we set the team up.
No. You set the team up.
I mean, me and Max.
Right.
We set the team up and I somehow didn't hit the save button. Although he has still got 80 points.
He's still doing really well. Yeah.
So we forgot. We've benched Madison. We've benched Luis Diaz.
Yeah.
And somehow he's still got 80 points.
Still doing better than me. All right. More on that a bit later on. No FPL. How are we doing? Luckily, Almiron has helped my game week. 15
Almiron?
Points for him and he's in my team. No FPL. You've got Almiron. Good effort.
That's
really
nice.
Good effort, that. Scott Schrager, the OG, is in. I thought Lee was responsible for your tea. Scott, that is usually the case.
That is true.
That is usually the case. But
let's
I have
blame him.
Failed on that this evening. I've
let's
failed.
Blame. Well done, Scott. Thank you for sticking up for me.
Yeah, we've got Rex in from Hong Kong. How are we doing, Rex?
Oh,
got some serious international representation tonight. Listen to this. Josh Cleave is in. 28 points. He's got no Haaland and took a -8. So he's on the net. 20 points, Josh. That is hard to take that,
no,
mate. That's
Haaland.
Hard to take.
This week is going to kill you.
That's what we're here for, though, mate. We're here to hear the good scores. We're here for the bads. We're here for you if you've got a bad week. If you've had a good week, bring it on. We want to hear it. Of course we want to hear if you've done well. But if you've had a bad week, it's no judgment here, guys. We all have bad weeks. Trust me. My game week rank before today, and I've been bailed out by some of my City players, but before today, my game week rank was somewhere in the 9 millions. I was having a stinker of a week this time yesterday, but I've had not a bad day today. Not a bad day. More on that later on. Liam Healy is in with a super chat. Hey, Liam, how we doing, mate? Hi, Liam, Sam. Current game week rank is 15K.
Very nice, Liam.
Very nice. Gavin Doyle is here. How are we doing, Gavin? Gavin, you still doing well in Fantasy Bundesliga? He was top of Fantasy Bundesliga, did you know? Gavin Doyle, number one in the world of Fantasy Bundesliga. That was a couple of weeks ago. Might not be. At the moment, but he was doing very well.
I'm very impressed by that.
Raheem Khan is here. Thank you for the super chat, Raheem. He says, I wish I was in Jamaica. Hello from exotic Merseyside. Hey, there's nothing wrong with Merseyside. Nothing wrong with a bit of Merseyside.
Well.
We'll talk about...
I bet it's raining up there.
As it is here.
And also, if you're a Liverpool fan, I don't imagine you want to be in Merseyside right now.
Well, listen, more on my team a bit later on because there is something not right.
The blue side of Merseyside's happier at the moment.
Oh, come on.
They are happier than you lot at the moment, I'm telling you.
I don't know about that, but listen, there's something needs to change at Liverpool and we'll talk about that later on. Brian Springer is here. How are we doing? Hello from Trinidad and Tobago, he says. Listen to this.
Why are these people all in such nice, exotic places?
Bevan Weber is in. Hello from South Africa.
Oh, my
goodness. And then Emma F. Bless
Emma
F.
Go on, where are
you, Emma? Hello from Kentish Town.
There's nothing wrong with Kentish Town.
Just around the corner.
Go through that on the tube.
Just around the corner, isn't it?
There's nothing wrong with Kentish Town.
Very good. Ben Allum is here. Hi, Lee and Sam. Hope you're well. We are, mate. Thank you very much. Anthony, Gary.
Apart from the no team.
We've got Cyberdebt.
There they are. The patrons are in.
A whole host of you guys. Most, as usual, our patrons in. Hello, guys. How are we doing?
Wonder what snacks they've got.
Good bit of snack chat on the Patreon Slack, wasn't it, over the weekend? Good
send,
bit, good
send
bit
a
of snack
of
chat.
Our,
enjoyed
our,
that.
Very our good. Cake outing that we had.
Very good. And a whole host of you guys in. So, guys, thank you very much for joining us here on FPL Family this evening. If this is your first ever FPL Family live stream,
welcome.
And don't forget to hit that subscribe button on your way out this evening. And if you're enjoying the stream, obviously give us a like. Helps us with all the algorithms and all that sort of stuff. Hopefully you're enjoying the YouTube shorts as well. Doing a lot of YouTube shorts on the back of my TikToks at the minute, so I'm trying to get that going as well at the moment.
Oh, your TikToks.
I've got a feeling that... Just think the YouTube shorts could be a bit of a thing going forward, you know?
Right.
I'm quite feeling this kind of short form, 1 minute YouTube shorts. Quite enjoying the YouTube shorts. Let us know in the comments if you're enjoying the YouTube shorts as much as I'm enjoying
making them. I don't know what
you're
talking
them.
About.
You're not... Yeah. Are you still doing the Facebook, by the way? Is Facebook still a thing?
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
How many people on Facebook? You don't have to check. You should know.
Why should I know?
You should know roughly.
Know the memories.
Roughly.
I don't know.
A couple of thousand, something like that.
More than that. I reckon it's about 3.
Is it?
I reckon.
Good effort. All right, Facebookers. Nice to see you. Right, let's get on with these games, Sam. And I've got to refresh this page because, as you can see, I loaded this so long ago, it hasn't got the Manchester Derby loaded up. So let's give this a quick preview of my score for the game week. Let's talk about... I just want to go straight in. I'm sorry, but we just have to go straight into the North London Derby. I'm sorry we've got to talk about that first.
Why?
Let's get it over and done with. Because
I don't mind talking about this game at all. I think for me, this game was lost on Emerson Royale. Like, Arsenal were the better team. There is no doubt about that.
Si Badet, thank you, Si, with a comment. Si, who's been a member of our channel now for 7 months, by the way.
Hello, Si.
He says, could I pay to stop Lee using TikTok? No amount of money is going to stop me. I love a bit of TikTok, as you know, guys.
The positive thing about the TikTok site is it does keep him quiet for a little bit after each game when he goes off and does a reaction. So, you know.
That's true. Go on then.
Arsenal are the better team in this game. But fundamentally, we were still in it until Emerson Royale just lost the plot, didn't he? He had a moment of utter insanity because the honest truth of the matter is Martinelli... I just had him constantly the whole game. And I think he just was like...
He gave him the run-up, didn't he?
And he just got frustrated. And as soon as you got sent off in that game, Conte hadn't had time to make the substitutions before Arsenal put away the third. And as soon as they put the third away, the game was done then. Because we're down to 10 men. We're trying to make the substitutions to shore up the game rather than, you know, try and get one back. But as soon as they were two down, it was kind of like, it's gone. You can't come back from that.
I have to say, I agree with you to an extent, but I will say that Arsenal were fantastic.
I did say that.
They were fantastic. And I think the game...
I think they had
your number even before the red card. I also said that, quite honestly.
So you agree with me fully?
Yeah, so Emerson Royale definitely was a big moment in the game, but Arsenal fully deserving of the win. I thought that the Xhaka goal was so well taken. And when he and Partey play in the middle, I think I said this a couple of weeks ago, they look so good with them two in the middle. They've got to keep them two fit, and Xhaka in particular is playing far more advanced than we're used to him seeing. I think that might now actually be maybe three,
but the reality
four
is,
goals for the season. He's never got more than three in a season before.
But he's got
three already after eight games. He's doing great.
But kind of doesn't matter though, does it? Because with game week 12 in mind, you're not going to invest in Arsenal, are you?
Well, the next two games for Arsenal coming up are Liverpool at home and then Leeds away. Two, I think, pretty stonking fixtures. And then they've got the blank, obviously, in game week 12. As you guys will know, City, Arsenal, both blank in game week 12. It's a difficult one, isn't it? Because I don't think you're going to bring in any Arsenal now because of the blank coming up. But
yeah,
the title of the live stream is, well, what are we doing about Arsenal then? They're absolutely flying right now. They're top of the league. They're above even Manchester City. I don't think you can bring them in, but you cannot sell them, can you, ahead of these next two games? I mean, both Liverpool and Leeds are defensively all over the place.
I mean, this is kind of why I haven't wildcarded yet. This is the reason, because I didn't want to sell my Arsenal players ahead of the derby because I knew that they would score. And I didn't want to sell my City players ahead of the derby because I knew that they would score. And therefore, what do you do now? Because if you have, like you have, started the de-investment process in Arsenal by selling Jesus on your wild card, a lot of people have done that going into game week 9. If they'd wildcarded over the international break, they'd have sold Jesus, they'd have sold players like Martinelli, maybe they'd have changed out Saliba. However, I want
Jesus back in my fantasy team as quickly as possible.
So would you bring him back in knowing...
This is the problem, isn't it?
About 12. Because I think this is the issue that a lot of managers now have. So, obviously, Jesus' ownership has dropped dramatically in the last couple of weeks from, like, 80% not that many weeks back.
Anyone that's wildcard in the last 2 weeks has pretty much taken him.
Yeah, so now the question is, what do you do about that? Because do you... Because I look at the game against Liverpool next week and think, with the way that Liverpool are defending... Forget the going forward, we'll talk about Liverpool more later, but with the way that they're defending, I would bet on Arsenal scoring goals. And if they score goals, I would bet on Jesus being a part of those goal-scoring movements.
Yeah.
So what do you do? Do you bring him back in, knowing that you're bringing him in for two games and then you've got to take him back out again? So are you kind of doing the thing that you always talk about and booking in a transfer? Now, for me, that's something I don't mind doing. I don't mind investing to take people back out again. But I think the complication comes with a lot of people will be more than one City player invested.
Yeah.
So there'll be a Haaland and a Cancelo, or there'll be a Haaland and a Foden and a Cancelo, however you've done it with City. So the more Arsenal you add to the City that you already have, the worse it gets.
I mean, so you're in a decent position now, right? Because you're right. Anybody that's wildcarded, like me a couple of weeks ago, and I've noticed Duncan in the chat, Duncan Crawford, one of our long-term members here on the channel, here for 7 months. He said he's eating some millionaire shortbread at the moment, Sam.
Oh,
he's happy with that. But he says, wildcard ain't just for 1 week, we move on. So Duncan's wildcarded this week.
Yeah.
And Duncan, let us know in the chat whether what you did with your Arsenal assets. But a lot of people that have played wildcard last couple of weeks have sold Jesus, have sold Saliba like I did and missed out on the haul last week. I've kept Martinelli, and a lot of people have kept Martinelli. But you're in this position now.
Yeah.
And by the way, Martinelli's up against Trent Alexander-Arnold next week, as James quite rightly says in the chat, which is like going to be very, very interesting.
Yeah.
But you're in this position now where you're kind of dead-ending your team into 12 so that you can wildcard in 13 out of it.
Yeah.
You've got to be maximising Arsenal, haven't you? Now you've got Martinelli and Jesus. I mean, are you going to be buying a third over the next couple of weeks? You can take advantage of this, right?
No, I'm not going to buy a third because I'm wildcarding after 12. So I'm not.
Oh, I see. Right. Okay.
So I'm going to bring them back in then. So because I think this is the point, isn't it? That Manchester City and Arsenal are teams that you really, really want from game week 13 to 16. The fixtures are delightful for both sides. So I think this is where the quandary comes for you guys. So for me, it's quite simple. At some point between now and game week 12, I'll sell some of my Arsenal assets because I haven't got a lot of money tied. I have in Martinelli, but I haven't in Cancelo. And I don't want to keep Edison. More on that later. Moving forward into that nice run of fixtures after game week 13. So I can start to move on players like Edison, like Cancelo eventually. And then bench the others. Because then going into game week 13, I want to be able to fill my boots with Manchester City attackers,
yes,
with three Arsenal players at that moment.
Yeah. Interesting, I noticed it. I think you said a couple of weeks ago that you were thinking when you do execute that strategy, it's going to be Saka as your midfielder of choice. And interestingly, top for chances created, Saka, this week. Interestingly, with Ashley Young from Aston Villa, he and Saka created 5 chances each this game week. That's on the members area. If you're not a member of the Fantasy Football Scout website yet, all the links are in the description below. Something we use a lot here on FPL Family, and we use the stats from the members area every single week. But Saka, top for chances created. And I noticed also up there for crosses as well. Mm. Third best for crosses. So in a week where Arsenal score 3 and he doesn't get any FPL points, bit unlucky, Saka owners this week, potentially.
I mean, one thing I will say is that last week, I think when I was talking about this, I was talking about selling Martinelli in favour of having Saka.
Mm.
I think having, obviously, Arsenal.
That's good old Martinelli, didn't he?
Well, I think maybe my, because in my head I was thinking I want one Arsenal midfielder in order to have one Arsenal defender. But actually, with the way that Arsenal and Manchester City are playing attack-wise, I favour having 3 attacking players from each of those two teams. So maybe actually holding Martinelli, having Saka and Jesus in a kind of triangle of Arsenal attackers, alongside 3 attacking Man City players, because there's a lot of value if you look at, if you don't go KDB, if you go Haaland, Foden and Bernardo Silva, that's a lot of value that you can have in Manchester City for not a lot of cost.
And let's just have a look at the Arsenal and Manchester City fixtures after that blank. So this longer term thinking that you're putting out there. Yes, so Manchester City come out of their blank into Brighton, Leicester, Fulham, Brentford. I mean, goodness me, that is Haaland perma-captain territory if he wasn't already.
But that's 3 attacking players as well, isn't it? Like that. I would have thought so. A lot of goals.
I would have thought so. And then Arsenal come out of it into Southampton, Forest, Chelsea away, which of course is difficult, and then Wolves. So 4 again, really nice looking fixtures. You possibly want 3 attackers there as well, quite possibly.
And so this is where I think your quandary is going to come, right? And I wonder, actually, for somebody like yourself and like maybe Duncan, who's wildcarded already, but that wants to be fully invested in Arsenal and Man City after the blank, whether there is an element of free hit in game week 12, because then you can keep your Manchester City and your Arsenal assets and still have them afterwards. Because your issue is if you sell them now, you've got to buy them back again in game week 13, and you can't necessarily get them all straight back in because of the cost factor in terms of points total spend.
I agree.
So maybe actually there is an element of saying, well, these are the two best teams in the league, arguably, in Arsenal and City. So maybe
it's not
actually
arguable at the moment, is it? I don't think.
Well, no, maybe not. But arguably, maybe this is the moment that you do want a free hit because you want to lose their assets for the blank, but you want them all straight back in again afterwards.
Mm. Yeah. All right. Thank you for the super chat. Cy Burdett. Cy says, controversial maybe, but I'm targeting Liverpool from here on in. That defence is poor, wobbly and lethargic. We're going to talk about that a bit later on, Cy. Saka and Jesus look like points magnets in that game. They do. And I have to say, Liverpool's next two, being Arsenal and Manchester City, do not fill me with any joy whatsoever. Quick word on Spurs then before we move on from the North London derby, because, you know, listen, Arsenal were phenomenal and deserved the win, but I wouldn't say Spurs were terrible. Not your best performance,
no,
but it was a little bit lethargic maybe in the midfield.
I mean, it was 12:30. We're always lethargic. Mm. But I thought that was the best 12:30 performance I'd watched from us for a while. I just thought Arsenal were better. I mean,
Son was still all over the place, though, isn't he? They did a bit of analysis on him on Match of the Day, and he was picking up balls and not finding, you know, that kind of telepathic thing between him and Kane just It's gone this season.
No, I totally disagree. Hasn't gone. It's only gone when Richarlison's on the pitch.
Right.
When Richarlison's on the pitch and Perisic is on the pitch, Son is lost. He doesn't know where to be. As soon as they're off the pitch, he and Kane go back to what they're used to. It changes the style of play when we have
Richarlison. So he's not adapting to the new system, basically.
He's just not coping with the changes in the team. Right. Whereas the rest of the team are. I mean, I thought Richarlison was our best player.
Yeah, yeah. He's mustard at the minute. No doubt about it.
And I said on my interactions yesterday, it's a real shame that he's a forward, because if he was a midfielder in the game, you'd invest.
You'd have him, wouldn't you? Without a doubt, you'd have him. Yeah, no doubt about it. But yeah, Spurs.
Otherwise, that's it really about Spurs. I mean, as a Kane owner, I'm happy. You know, converted the penalty as he does. Still ticking over the points nicely. So I'm happy with Kane going into some nice fixtures now for Spurs. So yeah, happy with him. And I think you can invest more heavily in Spurs, but you just got to think carefully about how you do it, because Richarlison is probably the one, but he's difficult because of taking up that third forward spot, and depending upon your team structure, etc., it's difficult.
Yeah, he's in the top 10 for XG underachievers, I noticed, on the Fantasy Football Scout members area, Richarlison. He does look probably your most dangerous player.
Yeah, he does.
At the moment. You'd argue that, but I think he probably does at the moment. The Spurs fixtures going forward, Brighton away, Everton, United, Newcastle, Bournemouth, and these are the fixtures, guys, up until game week 16, at which point, as you guys will know, after game week 16, we then have the World Cup. We have a break for about just over a month where we then have unlimited transfers in FPL. Yeah. So really, from now on these live streams, we're only going to be really talking about assets up until game week 16. I don't think there's no point really talking about game week 17 on, which I think is Boxing Day.
Yeah.
Boxing Day, game week 17.
Feels weird, doesn't it, that we won't have football from game week 16 until Boxing Day.
I can't get my head around it that it's going to be here in like a month. I can't get my head around it.
It doesn't feel quite right, because to me, I don't know how you feel about it, but for me, part of the World Cup is being able to go and, you know, sit in a beer garden and talk about football.
Yeah,
and of course, in the UK, we'll be freezing, so we won't be able to do that.
It feels a bit odd. Let's go to the game today, Manchester. Just go from one derby to the other derby, the Manchester derby. And I know United put in a couple of goals and Martial come on and got a couple of goals. Anthony scored a screamer, but This was a masterclass by Manchester City, wasn't it? Some of the goals they scored today,
they could have had more,
were otherworldly, and they could have had more. No doubt about it, they could have had more. Foden with the three, another player that I wish I'd kept on my wild card, but didn't. I upgraded him a couple of weeks ago to Kevin De Bruyne, and don't get me wrong, I'm not upset with De Bruyne's two assists, but what could have been with Foden? I had Foden for the first like seven or eight game weeks, and he just sort of like, he's threatened to do well, but he was a bit wide sometimes and he popped up with a couple of goals here or there. And I just thought De Bruyne is really becoming the engine room of this team. He's going to be the one to go to. And I've missed a mega haul there. I've missed a haul, no doubt about it. And I'm really upset about that. But Haaland with the three and the two assists. I noticed actually he was top overall for BPS in the game week. How many BPS for Erling Haaland this game week?
Well, when you told me this before, before we came on, I don't think I've ever seen something like this before.
102 BPS.
I can't remember ever seeing anyone have over 100.
Unreal.
I mean, Salah must have at some point, but I can't remember.
And let's not spend too much time talking about him, because it's going to be a bit like we've had with Salah in previous seasons. This is not a discussion to have here on a Sunday. Just get him. And if you haven't got him, find a way to get him. He's absolutely unbelievable. There is elements of Zlatan Ibrahimovic in his play. He's got the movement of kind of Cristiano Ronaldo. He's got the instinctive finishing of like a Ruud van Nistelrooy.
He's clever.
Unbelievable.
He's a real clever football brain.
Yeah, yeah.
And he instinctively knows where to put himself, but not just where to put himself to receive the ball, but he instinctively knows where to just put a ball for somebody else to be on the end. It's incredible to think that this guy has only been at this club since June.
Yeah, it's so good.
July.
It's so good.
It's madness that he settled in this well.
And as James is saying in the chat, well done, James, double up of Foden and Haaland helped me towards 101 points.
Lovely.
And a 15K overall rank. Very nice indeed. Very
that
nice indeed.
That is really good stuff.
So yes, Foden and Haaland, the stars of the show, ably assisted, literally, by Kevin De Bruyne and a few others there. What else to say about Manchester City? The one thing I will say is that you are currently doubled up in defence. So you've got Cancelo and you've got Ederson.
Yeah.
The way that they're banging in goals right now, you've got to be thinking about switching that to two forwards, haven't you, at some stage?
Yeah.
Two attacking players, I should say.
Yeah. So, but not yet. Because obviously with the way that things are... So I think probably this week, depending upon how things pan out, at some point I'll sell Ederson. That will free up my Man City spot. And then on wildcard, there's a good chance I might actually sell Cancelo as well and go for the triple up. Because okay. I think Foden is such good value for money. And all right, there's the potential that KDB outscores him. But I think, you know, he might get less minutes and et cetera, et cetera. But I really like what he's doing. And I really like the cheaper options that are there as well. Like the likes of Silva. Like I think Bernardo can offer some really nice differential opportunities with the City attackers for those last 4 weeks. And because I'm picking for 4 weeks, you can take a few risks with the players that you pick, because I'm not having to keep them for 8, 9, 10 game weeks. It's a 4 week punt over some nice fixtures up until the World Cup. So Foden, Bernardo,
keep an eye on Jackie Grealish as well. He is now pretty cheap in FPL because he's had a few price drops.
Yeah.
I had him in game week one and swiftly moved him on to Foden, actually, because I felt like Foden had that kind of left side sewn up, which I think he still does. But since he's moved to the right, Foden, because to accommodate Grealish, he's looked even more dangerous, quite frankly. Mm. But Grealish, really good, really, really good game today. Yeah. Really good game.
It's a couple of game weeks on the trot now.
And he's now starting to find his feet a little bit. He's starting to get a bit of rhythm in that Manchester City side. And I feel like if he stays on the left and continues the form that he's showing, that's going to mean Foden stays right, and Foden is more dangerous. He's got more goal threat from that right than he has from the left, in my opinion. And we saw that. We saw it against Wolves. We've seen it today against Manchester United. So I think Grealish's form makes him a pretty good FPL pick, but it makes Foden a really good pick. And all of a sudden, you've got this conversation, you rightly say, for a million or so more, you've got Cancelo or Foden. You're kind of having that decision now. Mm. Cancelo versus De Bruyne, difficult conversation to have because of the price difference. But all of a sudden, you're talking about, can you find a million to get from Cancelo to Foden? Not saying Cancelo's a bad pick, because he's still a great pick.
It's not even a million from him to Grealish or to Bernardo Silva. So from that perspective, it's not. I mean, I don't know, but at the moment, that's the way I'm thinking. It's a really nice opportunity to just attack that City attack, who look like they might score 4 or 5 every week.
Unreal, aren't they?
Whereas you can only keep one clean sheet. So that's the way I'm kind of looking at it at the moment.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's some other teams with really nice fixtures in those last ones where I would be more willing to put the spot as a goalkeeper, because I don't so much value as many of the attacking players from those teams.
Quick word on United. I thought Ten Hag got it a little bit wrong today. Tactical approach today. I thought he's inviting them on a little bit and trying to get them on a counter. I don't think it really worked. Won't be the first, not the first team that are going to go to the Etihad and get smashed, right? We've seen it already. So
yeah.
I mean, nice goal by Anthony. Anthony's goal was fantastic.
Yeah, I disappeared off to a birthday party, so I actually didn't see any of the United goals. But the bit I saw, it was just all about Man City, and tactically maybe you did get it wrong. But look, it is what it is. I don't think anyone was expecting Manchester United to do massive things in that game. But I think
I don't know. I think there was a little bit of expectation from the United fans.
Yeah. But I don't think, you know,
they've been good recently, you know.
But I don't think from an FPL perspective anybody was massively expecting Manchester United to run riot. But I do think it gives us some insight into, you know, what we might see from Manchester United. I thought the fact that they didn't give up and that they did go and get some 3 goals on the back of, right, they still lost 6, but they went out there and got stuff. Martial coming on is interesting. If he continues to, if he starts getting some starts and more minutes and keeps returning goals,
you're not getting
in
though, are you? You're not getting
in. I don't know, because you know we're back in this conversation, aren't we, about 4 game weeks on a wild card for 4 game weeks?
Yeah.
He's got 3 game weeks before our wild card. If he starts to show some serious form and regularly starts and gets returns, maybe I might just take a punt on him. But I think for now, I'm not.
The United fixtures read as thus. It's Everton, Newcastle, Spurs and Chelsea. Newcastle, Spurs and Chelsea coming up. I don't think you're investing, are you?
Well, when are they?
That's up until 13. Oh, okay, you're right. And then from 14, West Ham, Villa and Fulham. Okay, so yeah, maybe. But they're not a buy right now, despite them being fourth on the tick.
They're a watch, I think. Yeah, Let's see how they get on. I mean, you can't really judge Manchester United in a game against Man City. You have to judge them in a game against the other teams.
Totally agree. Where else to go? A lot of people had bought in Liverpool assets back for this game on their wild card. Or maybe Duncan did, who played the wild card this week. Maybe Salah, maybe Trent. There's a few others coming in. But difficult one to take again as Liverpool fans. I'll give my opinion in a second. I don't want to take anything away from Brighton's performance, though, by the way. If that is the sort of performance they're going to get under De Zerbi, then
they deserve it.
Then they are looking pretty good, and Brighton fans should be rightly excited about the future. Your shout on the official FPL podcast this week was don't rule out Trossard. He's never blanked at Anfield and always has a good game there. Well, he had a bloody good game up against Trent, didn't he? It's sometimes, a good shout. Very good shout.
Sometimes when you say things, I remember when we stopped the record on that, Az was on there, and he was like, do you seriously think Trossard's going to be all right? And I was like, look, the record speaks for itself. He seems to be comfortable at Anfield. And then my phone went mental after this happened. But I think it's really... look, I think what we saw from Brighton is... actually not a complete reversal of the defensive stuff that we normally see with Potter. We didn't see him completely rip up the defensive team and just go, right, everyone attack now.
Yes.
We saw some continuity there, but we also saw much, much better attacking threat from Brighton. And that was just in a week's worth or 2 weeks' worth of training under this guy, right? So over the next few weeks, as Brighton, you know, bed down under De Zerbi and start to really understand how to play, I think that there's some opportunities here. Now, the fixtures for Brighton aren't great.
Spurs next, right?
It's Spurs next. They're not the world's worst fixtures, but they're also not the best fixtures. But having said that, Spurs defensively haven't been solid, and Brighton always do well against us, so there's no reason why they can't score goals.
Just a quick word on that game as well, and I'm not speculating by any stretch of the imagination, but there is a planned rail strike next weekend, I think, in London and some of the surrounding areas. And that might affect the Spurs players and the Spurs fans getting to Brighton at the weekend. I'm not sitting here saying that Brighton versus Spurs is getting called off, but just hold your transfers. If you want to bring in a Spurs or a Brighton player, if you want to bring in Trossard on the back of this, and I would understand why, just hold it for a few days, because I'm not... let's see whether that game's going to go ahead or not. I'm speculating a little bit, but there is a rail strike, I think, that day or that weekend.
Another one. We've just had one
this
weekend.
They're on all the time. If you're not living in the UK, this will be news to you, right? And why would you know about this? But there's a lot of rail strikes going on in the UK at the minute, and that is affecting fans and players, I guess, getting to games. And maybe it affects this game. It 99% it'd be fine, but just keep an eye on it. Just keep an eye on it.
Well, look, I mean, I thought... on my honest opinion on this game was that Brighton were excellent. I thought that they were attacking, they were fluid, they were moving nicely, they were creating great opportunities. They could have been 5-0 up within half an hour in this game. Yeah. They were absolutely excellent.
So I agree, but let's move to how bad Liverpool were.
Okay, but I think we have to divide Liverpool into two halves here, because it's how bad Liverpool were defensively. So going forward, there was still plenty of attacking play from Liverpool. Yes, there wasn't necessarily the clinical edge at times that we're used to seeing from Liverpool, but there were still plenty of opportunities created. There was still good attacking movement and there were still chances. Defensively, however, I honestly don't know what's happened, because Liverpool were of all of the teams in the Premier League over the last couple of years, they have been the one team that I have been fairly assured about every week. I'm going to have a Liverpool defender.
Yeah, well, we had Trent in our FPL teams almost as a lock, haven't we, for 2 or 3 years?
Yeah, and most of the conversations are, how do you double up with the Liverpool defence? Do you go, do you go Robertson or what do you do? This season, all right, so let's leave Tsimikas out of it for a minute, because it was his first game with Robertson, so let's leave that aside. But
caught out of position a bit, though.
He was, but let's leave him for a second. When you look at the other three that were playing in those defensive positions, you've got Van Dijk, who is normally absolutely rock solid. You've got Trent, who I'm starting to question if he's actually Trent or if he's Trent in disguise. Mm. And then you've got, who was playing there? Matip.
Yep.
Who, again, normally a self-assured good centre-back, with Silva ahead of them, who is normally very...
Thiago Alcantara. Yeah. Not Thiago Silva.
always. Ahead of them, who's normally good at strengthening and supporting the defence, getting back, helping, stopping the pressure coming through.
Well, it's Fabinho that does that job, and he's one that is well off it. He's off it. Trent is off it, no doubt about it, but Fabinho is well off it as well at the minute.
But the question I have is why? What's happened?
I don't know.
Because Trent, honestly, I watched him and I was like, I kept saying to you, didn't I, when we were watching Match of the Day yesterday, it's like, what is happening here? Trent is trotting around. He's not getting back. At one point, the ball went past him and he walked to the edge of the box and just stood and watched while Brighton scored a goal. And it's like, what are you doing, Trent? You are a defender. That is your job. Go and defend. I think it makes owning any Liverpool players really difficult. So as a Luis Diaz owner, obviously I'm happy that he got an assist.
Mm. He made a difference when he came on.
He did, but you've got Arsenal next, and
yeah, and Man City,
and then Man City. And I look at that, and I look at those two matches, and I think
it's a problem.
It's a problem.
It is a problem.
Because even attacking wise, if you're going to score against Arsenal and against Manchester City, they're going to actually have to be good, well-worked goals. You're not going to be able to just scrap one in.
I will tell you right now, if we play like we played against Brighton with that lack of intensity against those two sides, we will get 0 points out of six.
Yeah.
Because Arsenal right now are full of work rate, right? They've got top players. But the one thing that Arteta is doing, it's team spirit. They're working hard for each other.
They believe
they're
in themselves.
They're grafting.
As well.
They believe in it. The pressing is unreal. And City are City, right? I mean, any team's rocking up against City and getting battered. So I can't see us getting anything from that at the minute. So, but what's lacking from us is, you're absolutely right, and Trent and Fabinho are kind of out there as the two that stood out for me on the day yesterday. But even like the press from the front three, right? The press from Salah, it's not good enough. Like there was a couple of times when I can't remember which Brighton defender was kind of bringing it out from the back, but Salah kind of just sort of run up to him, and rather than sort of stopping and harrying and
just generally working as a team
on the press, yeah, you know, he committed, and the Brighton player just sort of walked around him and then just brought the ball forward. And it's like, as a team, that press has gone as a team at the moment, and the intensity has gone as a team.
Connectivity's missing, because it's the same when you're going forward, isn't it? So it's not there coming back to help with the defence from the midfielders, but it's also not there the other way. So you used to be really, really good at playing out from the back and starting your movements from the defenders going up the pitch. Whereas now it seems that your movements going forward are starting somewhere in the midfield rather than starting from Alisson at the back. It's there's just not that connection across the pitch. That's how it feels to me as a kind of neutral-ish person watching Liverpool right now.
Well, listen, I don't want to talk any more about my team, not because it just upsets me, but also the next two, as we said, Arsenal, Man City for Liverpool.
Easy sells?
Probably, yeah. Probably.
Yeah.
I mean, if you bought Trent and or Salah in on your wild card for this Brighton game...
I think Trent's easy out. He's not keeping clean sheets against Arsenal or Man City.
Yeah.
And he doesn't look like getting attacking returns. So he's easy. Salah... he's a harder sell because he's Salah, but I just don't think he's worth 12.9 million at the moment.
I've seen some stats from Salah though this season. I mean, how many goals has he scored in the league? Not that many, right?
Yeah.
But also, one of the things you could always rely on from Mo was shots in the box, touches in the opponent's half, right? You could, and all right, on the XA statistic, on the creativity axes, if you like, of the graph, he's doing all right. He's doing all right. And he's, I think he got an assist this week. Yes, he did. One for Firmino. So he's creating, but his goal threat's taken a massive dive because he's not getting shots away.
No.
He's not being put into those positions either. So
what about Diaz? If you were me, because he did make a difference when he came on and you were better.
Yeah.
But I look at Zaha, more on him later. I look at other players who are cheaper than Luis Diaz, and I look across at, you know, players like Foden at Manchester City and think...
I think you'd sell him for Foden.
Well, I think I'd sell him for Zaha. I think there's a lot of players that I would sell him for right now.
All right, let's move on because, unless if you've got them, you've got a decision to make. If you've not got any Liverpool, you ain't buying. You definitely ain't buying. Where else do you want to go? What else do you want to talk about? Let's talk about the world's worst consolation goal, very briefly, from Bobby Deckard over Reid.
I didn't mind that at all.
Wiping out the Newcastle clean sheet. And I thought that I'd lost a Pope and a Trippier clean sheet, only to find out that actually Trippier got subbed on 83. So we're taking the Trippier clean sheet. And I've got Nick Pope, I think, coming in. I subbed him actually this week, and I'm playing Iverson. So if Iverson doesn't play for Leicester tomorrow night, I've got Pope's two-pointer coming in. Not much else to say other than the early red card kills the game, really. Newcastle go a couple of goals up pretty quickly. Almiron's first goal. Is it first or second? First goal, I think. Unreal. Absolutely unreal. I mean, if that's not goal of the month, I don't know what is. Absolutely brilliant shot. And I did see a few tweets of people, you know, did he mean it? He means it. And it is a brilliant shot. Really, really good. I feel good for him because he's taken his fair share of stick from me, actually, and a few others in the FPL community. But couple of goals and he'd done very well this weekend.
Talk to me about Mitrovic. Because as a Mitrovic owner, what are your thoughts now?
We've got to see what this injury is like, right, haven't we? We've got to see whether the injury is bad. And he was kind of carrying something out of the international break, wasn't he?
There was kind of
ice on his ankle during the Serbia game, and it was kind of like reported that he was going to be okay and he'd make it for the game this weekend. And he did make it, but I wonder whether that injury was exacerbated by playing. Perhaps he should have probably sat this one out. But if the injury is bad, if it's a 2 or 3 weeker, then you're probably a sell, isn't he? I mean, where would you go if you were going to sell him? I mean, you don't have him. You don't have the problem.
I don't have him.
Where
would you go? I mean, if you've got
Say Dominic Solanke.
Well, I mean, look, the reality is, so this is another issue that connects with game week 12, right? Because if you are already wildcarded and therefore need to ensure that you've got a full bench of players for game week 12, then you can't just take Mitrovic down to nobody because you're going to need a player off the bench. So actually, maybe Dominic Solanke is the best option, because at least he's a person that's going to play in game week 12 and he's got Southampton. However, there is so little attacking threat from Bournemouth right now. I don't think that that's really that viable a strategy. Callum Wilson?
Let's have a look at the Fulham fixtures. They do look pretty good. So it's West Ham, then it's Bournemouth, it's Villa, it's Leeds, it's Everton. This is the run, and this is the reason why so many people bought him in, either on a wild card or otherwise, is that the fixtures look great. I think we've got to cross our fingers and hope it's not too bad or injury.
I mean, I hope he's out for 5
You
weeks.
Hope he's out for a bit, yeah.
I think the thing for me is that I was going to sell Jesus for him. That was my plan. But I also think that him being injured, like when he went off, Pereira became far less effective. He sat a lot deeper. He wasn't as
Fulham,
good.
Yeah, but listen, I don't think you can read too much into the likes of Pereira and the Fulham performance, because it was a red. I mean, Chalobah, silly tackle, really. It was high. It probably was a red. And, you know, there we go. It completely changed the game, right? Against the Newcastle side, who... All right, I know they're the draw specialists so far this season, but they're a bloody good team, Newcastle. They're a good team, I think.
Yeah.
So let's talk about where else can we go. What other games do you want to discuss? Do we need to discuss this Thiago Silva? Let's not discuss the Thiago. I mean, this is... the first thing to say is I take nothing away from Conor Gallagher, right? What a goal. What a goal. I've just been talking about how good Almiron's goal was and how that could be goal of the month. Gallagher's thrown his hat in the ring as well. I mean, what a strike that was. Unbelievable.
Kind of written as well to be the winner against Palace.
Yeah, and fair play to him. He showed a bit of class, didn't he? No celebration, and I like to see that from a young man like that. So really, really good. But the Chelsea, I mean, that is a stroke of luck. I mean, how he's not giving Thiago Silva a red card for that, having then the VAR reviewed it, it's just unreal. It's unreal. It's a clear handball. The Palace player, I'm not sure who it was, maybe it's an Eze or a Zaha maybe, but they're kind of a, you know, they're away. I wouldn't say necessarily through on goal, but they're away. And have you seen it?
No.
I mean, he's on the floor and he just sort of, it's just like Sunday League stuff, literally just like moves it away with his hand. It's a clear red. And then, you know, sure as eggs is eggs, he pops up 5 minutes later and he gets the assist for the Aubameyang goal. It's just written in the stars, isn't it? It's written in the stars. So Crystal Palace, hard done by, in my opinion, this game, hard done by. And I wasn't mega impressed either side here. It wasn't an amazing game, but listen, Chelsea got the result. It got the job done.
It's not taught me a lot about Chelsea yet, I don't think. And I was sort of hoping to learn a bit more about Chelsea over the next couple of weeks, because they had this fixture and then some nice-ish looking ones coming up. So I'm hoping to learn a little bit more about them, see whether there's some differentials there.
Aubameyang's underlying stats, I'm not going there yet. I think
he's a forward, you're not. I don't think
that... No, I mean, his XG for the game was 0.1, so he took his goal well. I think it's Mount, right?
And Sterling in the midfielders I'm more interested in. Yeah, Reece James still continues to be the bane of my life.
Well, listen, Reece James was racking up the stats,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, but so... the stats are the same every weekly. How many weeks can we sit here and go, oh, but the stats look okay, before we go, the man is a troll. Stop owning him.
Well, why are you selling then, if you want to sell him? But he was top for touches in the opponent's half this week. The
stat but he's not getting any returns.
The Joao Cancelo stat. He was up there, and if you watch the highlights, he was a bit unlucky not to get something, I thought, like Reece James. You sell him if you want to sell him, but the fixtures for Chelsea look pretty good going forward.
I'm starting to lose the will to live with him, and I tell you what...
You weren't selling him ahead of Wolves at home, and then Villa, and then Brentford.
Particularly as Wolves have got no fit players and no manager. But I think, looking ahead, if by the time my wild card, we've not had any returns. If we get to game week 13, going into 13, and he's not returned, he is gone for those 4 weeks. I'm done.
All right.
I'm already fed up. Okay. I should have told him 5 weeks ago when I sat here and said I'm fed up with Reece James.
Yeah, well, you should do what you think is right, not what the herd are doing. What else do you want to talk about? That's probably it, isn't it? There's loads we could probably discuss. The Ivan Toney blank. I noticed Toney was top... or in the top 10 for XG underachievers. Fourth, actually. It was Watkins, Willock, Damari Gray, and then Toney. So Toney owners a bit unlucky, potentially, with his XG of 0.58 in that game and to get no returns for Ivan Toney. But Bournemouth did well and truly parked the bus in that game. Well and truly parked the bus. And Brentford just couldn't find a way through. They just couldn't find a way through. Let's discuss our teams in just a second, Sam. But before we do, quick shout out for our Patreon supporters. So, and lots of you are in tonight, guys. So thank you to all of our Patreon supporters for supporting us over on patreon.com/FPL family. If you want a little bit more FPL family, a little bit more Lee and Sam in your lives, then go and consider supporting us over on Patreon. We've got bonus podcasts. We've got a Manager of the Month competition. We've got a Slack chat community. We've got one-to-one Zoom options. Loads of different things that you can do over on patreon.com/FPL family. And currently, doesn't include game week 9. So we've got to wait for the Leicester game to finish tomorrow. Then I'll total up everybody's scores. But right now, and I'll tell you what, Bryce is having a brilliant season, by the way. He is right up there. I think he might be top 3, maybe 4K, something like that. He is having a brilliant season,
and of
Bryce.
Course, this Manager of the Month is slightly different because we didn't have many game weeks in September. Is that right?
Yes, September. Because of the death of the Queen, obviously, in this country, we had a bit of a shorter September. So we've put September and October together. And Bryce is leading the way as of end of game week 8 with 136 points. But Coco and Craig absolutely bang in it with 134 and 133. So listen, all to play for. Still lots of games still to be played throughout October. Plenty of football to be played in this month's Manager of the Month competition. But well done to Bryce in particular. He is having a fantastic season. Really, really good season. Let's talk about our team, Sam, for the week. So this is me. 71 points. It's a pretty below par week, to be honest with you. I'm kind of salvaged something from the wreckage after yesterday. I was really, really down in the dumps, no doubt about it, because Toney had blanked, Mitrovic had blanked and got injured, Zahar had blanked, Martinelli got me the assist, but James hadn't done anything. Trippier, I was jammy to get the 7 because he came off before the goal, but really it was a very, very poor Saturday, really nothing going on at all. And then today, got something from De Bruyne. Obviously the Haaland captaincy helps, as it, I'm sure it did help a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And I've got Maddison and potentially Everson still to go. Probably going to be Pope if Ward continues in goal for Leicester. But a couple of players still to go. But 71 as my game week score. A game week rank of 4.9, which when I tell you I was at about 9.7 million about this time yesterday.
He wasn't joking.
I was having a bad game week last week. And I think my overall rank when I checked it, my live rank this time yesterday, I think I was about 480k, something like that. It was really, really down, over double my rank. So Haaland and De Bruyne have dug me out of a particularly bad hole today. My overall rank is down from 220k to 316. So it ain't bad. It's fine, right? And if Maddison gets a goal, maybe Everson comes in. I don't know. But if Maddison can bag me something tomorrow, he's a reasonable differential and I might be back on par for the game week. Maybe even a green arrow if he puts in a bit of a performance. But an overall rank change of minus 48.7. He is a big differential. Yeah. Effective ownership in and around me, I think he's still only in the sort of 20%.
Oh, it's below, might even
be
much,
less than that.
Much
so
lower
he's,
than that,
he's still a reasonable differential. And at home to Forest, I mean, can you call that a 6-pointer? I guess you can. It is a 6-pointer, really. Both of them need the points, right?
100%.
Both of them need the points. Bit of rhetoric about maybe Vardy coming back in. Let's see. But yeah, Maddison and Everson to go, potentially. But yeah, a pretty meh game week. A pretty below par game week, to be honest with you. I did the Zaha move a week early because Kulusevski done his hamstring. I thought, well, I want Zaha from game week 10 onwards, no matter what he does against Chelsea. If he gets anything, that's a bonus. Mm. And he nearly did. A couple of good saves from Kepa. Zaha could have had something. But from game week 10, I'm pretty happy to have him. I think he's definitely one that a lot of you will be looking at, I'm sure. Mm. We'll talk about transfers in a second. I know that you're looking at him as well. But definitely a bit of a below par game week, but I was probably due a bit of a bad one since I've had a reasonable start. But Sam, you have had a reasonable game week with 81 points. So talk us through it.
I mean, it's actually gone quite well, given I sold Jarrod Bowen this week.
Yes, talk us through that move. You did Bowen to Madison, right?
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm annoyed about it, obviously, because Bowen hauled. However, I'm also not that annoyed about it at the same time because I never planned to keep Bowen. It was always a temporary thing for game week.
Surprised you sold him.
I was surprised. From the minute I bought him, I told you I was going to sell him. Like, it was only ever a pump for game week 8. Had I wildcarded going into game week 9, I'd have sold him. And I needed, and I wanted Madison.
Moves
and
at home, though. I mean,
yeah, but I preferred to keep. So it was a straight choice between selling Bowen, who West Ham showed no form, he'd showed no form, or selling Luis Diaz. Liverpool showed no form, but Luis Diaz was showing some form. Mm-hmm. So those were the choices. So it's like, well, I've got two teams not showing form, one player that's showing more form than the other. Okay. So I'll keep Luis Diaz. Now, as it goes, I should have kept Bowen. However, I still don't regret the decision to buy Madison. And if Madison gets a brace tomorrow, more vindicated with that decision anyway. So we'll see. But the front three are the ones that have really done me proud this week. Obviously, Haaland is Haaland, and he's the same for everybody. But the fact that Jesus has been sold by everyone that's wildcarded makes him a bit more of a differential for me now than he ever has been in the past.
Yeah, for sure.
Kane is still a differential for me. So he's massively helping my overall rank every time he does something. The decision to bench Martinelli, it came down to the fact that I didn't want three players in that North London derby because I wasn't sure how that would go. I thought Arsenal would win the game, but I wasn't sure whether it would be a fiery North London derby, which is what we got, or whether it would be a boring-ish one because it was 12:30 kickoff, whether it might be lethargic. And my fear was if it was lethargic, I didn't really want three attacking players in that one.
Surprised you stuck Andreas Pereira in there over Martinelli.
So the reality is I actually don't really like the Newcastle defence. I always think that they look like they've got a mistake in them and they always look likely to concede, which is why I won't ever do the double up with Trippier and Pope. I like Trippier because I think he's great value for money and he has got great set piece potential, great attacking threat. So I really like him for that reason. And that's the reason I have him, not really for any defensive stuff. That's just a bonus. But I did fancy Andreas. I like Andreas's potential. And I thought against Newcastle, he might get something. I was always going to play Aronson against Aston Villa because they've not been great. So let's see. I mean,
at least you didn't have Sinisterra this week.
At least
a lot of people
didn't
have Sinisterra. Yeah,
I mean,
so that's the
other player that I would like to part with. I'm really not feeling the Leeds love at the moment. Like, so
this is a quick chat on that because yeah, I'm with you. I'm not quite sure what Jesse Marsh is playing at in his post-match interview. Did you see that? It was
a bit of a slide to get Villa, didn't
it? Yeah, I'm paraphrasing. I can't remember the exact quote, but it's something like, you know, The Villa really slowed the game down and my fans, you know, they don't come to the stadium to... No, because they played at Villa Park, didn't they? Or was it at... Anyway, there was something about... didn't like the fact that Villa slowed the game down and my fans don't come here to watch a game that's played at a snail's pace or something like that.
Well, you're the one that was down to 10 men.
And it's like, you know, have a look at Sinisterra and the way that he got sent off. Two very, very avoidable yellow cards, in my opinion. And the second one, in particularly petty, to be honest with you. So...
I'm not feeling the Leeds love. I mean, Aronson,
I'm just going to put it out there. I don't like Jesse Marsh. I don't like him.
He's a bit unnecessary.
I don't like him.
He's a bit unnecessary.
He's a bit brash, isn't he? And I wonder whether that's actually that attitude. I mean, the fact that he's sitting in the stands today because he got sent off on a previous game, didn't he? And did you see the guy, the guy that was on the touchline for Leeds today?
Well, no,
I was
at a party, so I didn't see any of this game.
His assistant manager is sort of just rocking around in like a hoodie. It was weird. Maybe it's because I love Bielsa. I thought Bielsa was brilliant. And I just wonder whether that's clouding my judgment a bit. But Jesse Marsh, I just don't like this guy at the minute. He's really, really very, very...
Well, I think he
does a lot of talking and not a lot of, you know, actual showing on the pitch at the minute.
I think for me, the thing is that don't throw stones when you're in glass houses or whatever the phrase is. You know, like, you weren't...
Right, what have I said?
No, not you. Jesse Marsh. Like, they weren't exactly brilliant today. So don't have a pop at Villa... When you weren't great.
Yeah, that's what I mean. He wasn't self-reflective about, we could have done better.
Pretty sure Steven Gerrard would have come out and gone, yeah, it was poor. Because, listen, part of it while I was going to and from the parties, it sounded dire.
It was not a great game.
That's disrespectful to Eric. It sounded bad. I think I think, yeah, look, I'm not feeling the Aronson love. I'm not feeling the Leeds love. So he's another one that could go this week.
Interestingly, though, a quick comment, but Ollie Watkins was top for XG underachievers this week. He had an XG of 1.09 in that game. So despite it being a bit of a dull game, he had chances, Ollie Watkins. They could have and maybe should have won with the Watkins.
There you go there. It's your replacement for Mitrovic.
Not the way that Villa are playing. I thought they were better when Buendia come on. They looked a little bit more creative. And Coutinho had a good game as well. But, you know, listen, against 10 men Leeds, you've got to be winning that game.
Yeah.
I can reel off as much
Villa
XG as you want. They've got to win it.
As points lost, they've got to win that game, for sure. Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, so there are other players in there that are potential issues. But I do really want Zaha going into this next run of fixtures.
We'll talk about bus teams in a minute, though. Anything else to discuss on your team in particular?
So, obviously, Madison's come tomorrow.
Yeah.
If he doesn't play, then it will be Martinelli off the bench.
All right, a game week rank of 1.8 and an overall rank now of 1.8 as well.
First time in the top 2 million, so we're getting there now. That's what, about 500k off the rank, I think?
Slowly but surely.
We're getting there, we're building.
I looked on live FPL and yeah, it's about 500,000 off your rank. So 22.2% up and a green arrow, so not to be sniffed at. Let's have a look at your bus team then, your team as it looks right now on paper for game week 10, which of course is a week away, and we've got obviously Leicester to come, we've got European games to come in the week. So as I said at the beginning of the live stream, we probably want to hold your transfers and just wait to see how those games pan out. But talk us through your bus team as you set it up right now and what you're thinking in terms of transfers and captaincy.
I just realised I actually can't see it. So I quite like the double up at the back, actually, this week for Manchester City, because it's a nice fixture for them, although yeah. I would rather have some attacking players in that game. But Ederson and Cancelo obviously play alongside a back four. I'm going to play Nico Williams, I think, this week.
Home to Villa, yeah, maybe.
Just don't think that Villa are that great at the moment. And I can, you know, let's see how Nico Williams gets on tomorrow against Leicester. But he's always offering some attacking threat, and, you know, Villa aren't exactly scoring loads and loads of goals. So potentially there's some clean sheets there. At the moment, I've got Luis Diaz, Madison and Martinelli, but I'm really, really, really not loving the Luis Diaz against Arsenal pick.
No. Okay.
And then a front three of Harlan Kane and Jesus. So that's not changing. So I'm looking at that team thinking, well, where is my weakest point? Because that's always the position I like to change. It's not always just about targeting in on the player that I want. So if it's targeting the player I want because I don't think there's a really weak moment, then likely transfers will be Luis Diaz to Zaha.
Okay.
But I think if I look at my team, the weakest elements in it at the minute are Aronson, and obviously there's the Veltman benching option. But I don't hate the Veltman pick at the moment. Like, he's not got to play most weeks.
Yeah.
It's just bench options. So for right now, I think it's okay. So it'll probably be Luis Diaz to Zaha, but potentially might do something with Aronson instead, depending upon, I don't really know how much money that allows me to have. Let me just have a look.
Okay, just while you're sussing that out, captaincy on Erling, I assume.
Yeah, because the reality is, who is better?
Triple captaincy on Haaland?
Oh, my life.
Just putting it out there?
No, because Man City have already, we know they've got a double coming up, because obviously they've missed game week 7 like everybody else. So at some point, you're going to have Haaland in a double. Now, if that double ends up being, well, the game that they missed was against Spurs. Oh, God, I'm going to have to triple captain Haaland against Spurs, aren't I?
I triple captain him against anybody at the minute. I just think that Southampton game, I just think with the Champions League going on at the same time as well, they're going to walk this league, City, right? Pep is absolutely going to prioritise the Champions League, and that's where he's going to want to protect his players. And we even saw it today, right? I think it was on 70-ish minutes. You saw a treble substitution from Pep with...
He did four, didn't he?
Yeah, and interestingly, Haaland actually didn't come off, but I think Gundogan and Phil Foden and Grealish all came off, and they're sort of protecting his players a little bit. And you've got to think at some stage Haaland is going to get a bit of protection, and he'll give the other new boys, Alvarez?
Yeah.
They're going to give him a bit of a run out, or maybe Mahrez can go out there. Cole Palmer can play there, I think, can't he? But yeah, listen, I don't know what Haaland's effective ownership is going to be at home to Southampton in game week 10, but it's going to be nudging 200%, isn't it? I mean, if you've got him, you're going to captain him. My team for next week is looking pretty set. I'm pretty happy with it, actually.
How many transfers you got?
Just the one free transfer, because I did the Zaha one early, didn't I? I did Kulusevski to Zaha this week, knowing that if Zaha gets anything for from Chelsea this week, then okay, fine, he didn't, so fair enough. Now I'm going to keep him now for this nice run that Crystal Palace have got. Let's remind ourselves what that run looks like. Here is the Crystal Palace run. Leeds, Leicester, Wolves, Everton, Southampton, West Ham, Forest. And that's one of the reasons I wanted to get Zaha, and I guess one of the reasons you're looking at Zaha as well, is because the fixtures from now up until the World Cup, absolutely they can do well in those Crystal Palace. And absolutely he can do well in those, Wilfried Zaha. So I'm happy to have Zaha in my team. That's not what I want. I want that one. There we go. So Zaha's in my team. Martinelli, despite playing my team, is absolutely in there. Him up against Trent, I think I'm going to have him in my team, no doubt. Madison's got Bournemouth. The one that I'm looking at, and it depends on what happens to Mitrovic, right? Because we spoke about Fulham's fixtures. We spoke about Mitrovic's fixtures. If it's not too bad an injury, I will keep him. But if it is a bad injury, then I do, even though I've only wildcarded a couple of weeks ago, I might start to have a look at what my front line looks like again. Because Tony and the Brentford fixtures are actually not too bad, but that blank against Bournemouth really bothered me. I know he's fourth for XG underachievers this week, so potentially a bit unlucky.
But that's part of the reason you got him, right? That Bournemouth game.
That Bournemouth game was the one I was targeting, I have to say. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he took a couple of direct free kicks as well, and he could have, should have, would have maybe had something.
So what
in
are
that
you
game.
Thinking he might do?
Well,
if Mitrovic is out for 4 weeks.
Well, then I probably will move him, but I don't know who to at the minute. That's the challenge. And like you, I've got Nico Williams on my bench there. I've got Andreas on my bench. But either of those I'd be happy to play. Walker Peters is going to the Etihad, so I ain't playing him. He's there to help me out in game week 12. That's why I bought him in my wild card. But outside of that, Cancelo, James, Trippier. I've got Pope in there for the double Newcastle, hopefully clean sheet against Brentford. But again, if I'm hoping for that, then maybe that's another reason to maybe bench Tony or get rid of Tony. So I'm not thinking I want to change anything in my team other than maybe Tony and Mitrovic, depending on the Mitrovic injury. You know, watch this space. It's going to be interesting to see.
So you're going to potentially roll?
Potentially roll. Yeah, maybe roll. Maybe roll. Because I don't see any. I'm just not looking at that front line. The only striker I want outside of those that I'm currently there is Jesus. I do want Gabriel Jesus back in my team, quick, sharp. But
then you've got
the blank. And I'm like, I don't,
unless you
can't
free
bring
hit.
Him in. No, not going to do that. No, I'm not going to do that.
I mean, honestly, I don't think it's a terrible strategy. The more I think about it, the more I think if I had already played my wild card, with the way that City and Arsenal are playing right now and the fact that I would want Jesus and another Arsenal player and three Man City players, they are the best teams in the league right now. They're both not playing in game week 12. For me, that would be the perfect week. Like, the free hit can be used in blanks, yes, absolutely. It can be used in doubles, yes, absolutely. But this might be an opportunity not to necessarily maximise your points returns in game week 12, but to ensure you are ahead of the game in 13.
Yeah, quite possibly. Quite possibly. He's got Newcastle up next, Tony. Then the new-look Brighton side under De Zerbi. Then it's Chelsea in game week 12 when, you know, definitely going to be playing him because my bench is going to be full of Arsenal and City players. It gets nicer for him in 13 with Villa and Wolves coming up next. But the next three for Tony look quite difficult. Difficult games there for Brentford. And he's potentially a sell. I mean, I could I downgrade? Could I go back to sort of having a 4.5 forward? And
But you've got to be prepared to free hit then. Because you're going to give yourself a problem for 12.
Yeah, maybe. So listen,
you can only go as far as Solanke if you're going to not free hit in 12.
Yeah, I don't really want him, to be honest with you. I don't really want him.
You and Prez loved him.
No, Praz loves him. I just so happened that I was on the same podcast where Praz said Solanke. And I think I then went on the official podcast the same week and went, do you know what? Praz said Solanke. And I actually think it's not a bad idea. And then the whole of FPL Twitter went mental for 2 weeks going, like, why is Praz bringing in Solanke? And I felt somewhat culpable for Praz getting that stick, to be honest with you. So, Praz, I apologise. What have we got coming up this week, Sam? A big week, actually. Loads going on. Tell us about the week.
We are having a very busy week this week.
Yes.
So you can catch me and FPL Sinaldo on this week's Off the Bench podcast.
Nice. Enjoying the Off the Bench podcasts.
They're really good.
Yeah, I enjoyed
really
being on
with
Praz last week. It was great.
Yeah, they're a really good addition to the game, I think. They offer something really different, and it's nice to have different voices who don't normally pod together, chatting together.
And where can the viewers find the Off the Bench podcast? So in the same place that you'd find the official
exactly
FPL podcast,
exactly the same
right?
place you find the official podcast,
Subscribe
yeah.
to the official one, and you'll get the Off the Bench ones in your feed. on Spotify yes. or wherever you get your podcasts,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, so the Off the Bench ones are out 24 hours after the final game. So you, because there's a Monday night game, we'll be recording on Tuesday morning. So it'll be out Tuesday afternoon.
And you and Andy tomorrow then, Sinaldo.
On Tuesday we'll record.
On Tuesday morning, of course, after Leicester, yes.
Yeah,
yes,
so yes, me yes. and FPL Sinaldo, so I'm looking forward to
love
that
Andy.
One.
What
so
a legend, I, by yeah. the way, Sinaldo, what a yeah. legend.
And love then it. On Thursday, be able to catch me on the normal FPL pod, the official one.
Very good.
I can't remember who's the guest on that one this week. I can't remember. But anyway, we're recording that on Thursday as normal. And then...
Ohana podcast for the faithful patron
Friday.
Supporters on Friday. And then Saturday.
And then Saturday.
Very well, exciting day on Saturday.
So
on are we allowed to say? We can say, can't we?
I don't think we haven't been told not to.
Okay, go on then.
You made me question my decision, my life choices then. On Saturday, yeah. Lee and I are going to the Sky Sports News studio together yeah. to do this week's Sky FPL chat.
We're going to be in La Studio, the Sky Sports studio, at the famous desks.
I already feel a bit sick of that.
Chatting FPL. I feel a bit sick of it as well, to be honest with you. Absolutely papping it over here we are, guys. I'm not even joking. The whole Skype thing, I was like nervous enough doing it on via Skype. But to actually be going to the studios and talking about FPL in an elongated segment with either Hayley or the anchors or whatever. I know we've done a few FPL shows, but this is Sky Sports News. This is at the desk where Jim White sits with his yellow tie.
Oh, God.
Papping it.
Stop
seriously,
it.
Papping it.
Anyway, so we're doing that on Saturday. And we're a little bit worried about it. It'll be fine on the day. When
it'll
we
be
get
fine.
There, when we get there, we'll
it'll be
fine.
Fine.
But in the build-up, I don't think either of us is going to sleep on Friday night.
No.
We'll be really
no.
nervous. But yeah, we're really excited. So if you get Sky Sports News, wherever you are in the world, then tune in and watch us on Saturday morning. We could do with the...
10.30, something like that, 10.30 a.m. UK time-ish?
I think it's
10.30. About that, yeah.
I think it's
watch
still
this
10.30.
I'll tweet
to,
it.
Even
I'll
though
tweet
it's
it.
A later deadline this week, there's no lunchtime kickoff on Saturday.
Yes.
But it will still, I think, be 10.30 to 11.30. But yeah, we'll tweet about it.
Get all your hair and makeup done and all that stuff.
Oh, I don't know about that, actually. I'm not sure. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
I need my hair and makeup done most weeks.
I better go and get me grey done.
I can't go on Sky Sports News with your greys.
Oh, my goodness. Dear, oh dear.
Nice one, guys. Well, listen, thank you for joining us here on FPL Family. If you're new, as I said at the beginning of the stream, if you're new to the FPL Family YouTube channel, then we'd love you to hit that subscribe button. If you enjoyed the stream tonight, leave us a like before you go. Good luck to anybody that's got your Madisons, if you're playing Ward, Everson, if you've got Nico Williams playing tomorrow night in Leicester versus Nottingham Forest, then good luck to all of you in that game. And we will see you, as usual, back here, 8:30, Sunday night, looking back at game week 10. By then it will be game week 10. So good night, guys, and see you next time. Cheers.
Bye, guys.